Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Just for the sake of time, trying to stay somewhat on time, we'll go ahead and get started this morning with our devotion. Grateful to the Lord for being here. Grateful to see Ron here this morning, old buddy. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning with the brethren. Let's pray and ask the Lord to be in our midst today. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the honor of gathering once again another day in your presence on this side of the grave, Lord, to look into your precious word, to enjoy fellowship with the brethren, to worship the Lamb who was slain on our behalf. Father, we thank you for your precious promises found in your word. We pray that you would give light to your word to us, illumine your word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would receive glory and praise for today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you can see on our screen, our reading and comments today is from Psalm 127. That's what we'll be reading. Psalm 127, this is the NASB translation that we're reading from this morning. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives his beloved to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." This is another one of those I've been mentioning on my readings. There was 15 songs of ascent, and this is another one of those songs that were sang, chanted, spoken on their way, Israelites on the way to Jerusalem for one of the great feasts. The author of this psalm is said to be Solomon. A few have said David, his father, but most say it was Solomon. And it's kind of especially kind of significant that it was Solomon relating to this simple psalm because of you know how much Solomon knew about building, how much he built. So when it talks about the Lord building a house, you would know that Solomon had a lot of knowledge when it comes to building things or watching over things that he has built. And it's a very practical passage, Psalm 127 is. It just simply deals with two areas that demand most of our time and most of our attention, the idea of work and the idea of family. And although that word house, unless the Lord builds a house, in reading some of the translators, some think that the house was used here just another word for family, and how the reason why it links building the house and then jumps over to children is because they're saying house is used in terms of speaking about the family unit. But either way, the meaning is going to be the same. It's a very, very simple message that he teaches us, very simple lesson that he teaches us from this. And really, I'm just going to comment on the first couple of verses this morning to think on in this psalm. And the lesson is quite simple in verse 2. The lesson is that long hours, long, hard work does not necessarily equate to prosperous and profitable work. That's the message that he's conveying here. It's not saying that The Lord is against committing long hours of dedication, lots of time and effort to work. We know the Proverbs speak about the, you know, the hard work, the how that's actually is pleasing to the Lord. But just because you put long hours and hard work into something doesn't mean that it's going to be profitable. Doesn't mean that it's going to be prosperous. There's five words you can remember this whole lesson in. And the first part, the first four words is unless the Lord builds, and the lesson is vain. Unless the Lord builds, it's vain. That's the lesson. Personally, thinking of this, I don't mind working on anything hard, anything long, anything that takes a lot of energy. I've never been scared of getting my hands dirty on anything. And if it takes a long time, it takes it. But what I hate, what I despise, what really, really irritates me is that if I put in long hours, put in long work, and I know you're the same way, put in that effort and for it to be wasted, for it to be in vain. This thought it drives me absolutely nuts when I do something. And then afterwards, I realize I just wasted an entire day, an entire weekend. You know, it's sort of like when you finally decide to wash your vehicle, you hadn't washed my truck, you know, in forever. I get out there and spend the entire day scrubbing on my outside of my vehicle, all the dirt and grime and bug spots and all that. And what happens? It rains that day. You know, I got to go out in the rain and I get back and there's the splashing of the mud all over. It's just the vain efforts just drives me crazy. You know, that's on a small scale. Big things that you think about that happened to us, you know, like I know a lot of people here have had to rebuild their home after the flood. You know, I spent weeks and weeks helping my parents rebuild their house, you know, and they have a creek that runs behind their house. And several times since the flood, that creek has come up again. Praise the Lord. They just, you know, I was telling you about by the grace of God, they just sold their place and found another place. I was so thankful because that thought of when that creek moved up, I thought about those hours and all the time and money we put into rebuilding that sucker, you know, and I'm thinking if this thing floods, and I know y'all felt the same way, all of you that, I mean, the thought, no. Can you imagine it? All the work and time and money and sweat and tears you put into rebuilding that thing. And imagine another one of those floods coming again like we had in 16 and wiping it out. How devastating of heart that would be to you to recover from that. You know, that thought of building something in vain, it's heavy. It really is a heavy thought to think about that. You know, there's plenty of other examples you can use.
Hurricane season.
Many of us have, you know, it's like retiring, you work all years just to save up a nest egg to keep you for the rest of your life. Some of us experience either through bad decisions of your own or somebody else, bad investors, Ponzi schemes or whatever, and you lost it all or a part of it. I've experienced part of that, to be honest with you. That's a crushing, crushing feeling when you say, I put in this much time, this much energy, this much to doing this, in an investment only to have it gone, only to have it mean nothing. It's just a heavy thought. This idea about building and in it to be vanity is such a strong lesson that we can all relate to. Children, one last example is like, we know how much you invest in raising a child, you know, how much you put into that child. The everyday investment of time and teaching and instructing, and then to have one go astray, to damage their life, to hurt their own life, that which you've invested so much in, that's why it's such a blow. It's not like one that just, you know, he's a family that produces kids and turns them loose and could care less. But if you're a parent and you've invested so much of that, to see it go to waste, again, it just reiterates that this lesson of how crushing it is to do things and when it's in vain. And it's an impactful statement that we read here about doing things in vain. The lesson is huge. So he talks about two things in this in this psalm. It's about building and about guarding in this first couple verses. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Building and guarding. Building has to do with ventures taken on from scratch. You're starting from scratch. Guarding has to do with maintaining and protecting something that you've already built. And both take great efforts, great amounts of time and great amounts of effort, great amounts of energy. Some people build a lot of things. Some people go out and take on a bunch of ventures. Some build little. They only invest not so much on the outside, but just within themselves, their own situation. And, there's a separate rebuke. There's actually a rebuke of the Lord that those who don't build much, who build very little, you think about the parable of the Lord gave of the talents. You know, building is like investing and doing something to improve things, to make things that would make lives better, make the kingdom better, make situations better. And to do nothing, to build nothing, you can't take that approach, because we see that rebuke of the Lord with the parable of the talents. You know, one guy just wanted to not build very much, but just kind of stay status quo, and he kept his one talent and got rebuked for not doing more, not building more, not investing more. But the rebuke here is not on the one who didn't build anything. It's the one who built maybe much, but incorrectly. And the same with guarding, when he talks about the watchman keeping awake in vain, guarding in vain, rising up early in vain, and retiring late, eating bread of painful labors. It was vain for him to do all those things. Likewise, there's a separate rebuke for those that don't want to guard anything, that don't want to be active in safeguarding. They don't safeguard, for instance, the things that the Lord has already given them, that's already built. Your eyes, guarding your eyes, the word talks about safeguarding that, guarding your heart, guarding your affections. And again, there's a separate rebuke for those that don't want to guard anything, just live haphazardly. But this is a separate rebuke that the folks that are guarding something here in this chapter, but they're guarding it incorrectly and for the wrong reasons, is the rebuke here. So basically, we're left with the question of saying, how do we know when we're building something or guarding something in vain? If that's the rebuke here of building and guarding something incorrectly in vain, how do we know when we're doing that? Well, my simple answer was that anything that the Lord is not a part of, that he doesn't have a control of, that we don't give him the reins over from the very start to the very end, it's vain. And one factor, probably above all the others that you can question, is what are your motives behind building, behind guarding? Why you're doing what you're doing is just as important as what you're doing. Motives, so important. I've come to realize that our judgment will not only be judged for what we do, but why we do it. Is that not right? Matthew 7, for instance. You had people who did things, who thought they were building on the kingdom. And they said, Lord, we have done things for you. We thought your kingdom. We went out and prophesied in your name. We went out and we tried to do these miracles and all these good works, things that you would think that would be good. And the Lord rebuked them. And it was because of their motives behind what they were doing. It wasn't for the glory of the God. It was for thinking that like the Pharisees, that their actions merited them something before the Lord. So motives, what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing, is very, very important. A couple quick examples of building in vain I thought of in Scripture. An early one, the Tower of Babel, for instance. That's a significant building that took place right there. If you read about that, it was You know, it was said to be, well, it was the first skyscraper ever built, you know. It was said to be just a massive undertaking that these people after the flood got together and said, all these thousands of people said, look, we want to stick together. We want to do things. We want to make sure, and it sounded right on the surface, you know, we want to make sure we build ourselves a big tower, community tower, to where, you know, we can be all for one and one for all. You know, we stay in this place. We don't, you know, we don't lose our identity. And they go out and invest all this energy, all this time, all these, this, the material, the stone, and all the efforts in building this monster-sized skyscraper thing to the sky. And it seemed like they, on the surface, they sounded right, but the motives behind it, they didn't go out and check what God had to say about it. You know, it was that all that energy was in vain because the Lord wasn't in it. The Lord, if they sought the Lord, they would know the Lord's word was to go out, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth. You know, I want you to be around across the whole earth, not right here. And so that was an example, an early example of vanity building in vain. And I thought of one more. The New Testament was in Luke 12. You remember the story of the farmer who had a bumper crop. I mean, the man was doing good. The man was working hard out there. And the Lord blessed it, gave him a bumper crop. Nothing wrong with that. Thank you, Lord, for that bumper crop. And then he said to himself, all right, what am I going to do? I've got more than I can store here. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the time, the energy, and the manpower to tear down all these small barns, and I'm going to build these great big barns. I don't want to waste this grain. I want to keep this grain. I want to store it, you know? And what I'm going to do, this is my savings account. I'm going to store it up so that I won't be dependent on anybody. I'll have enough for the rest of my life. You know, in parts of that, we would admire it. We look at somebody, we'd actually envy somebody that did that. You know, they saw their blessings. They saved up. They opened them up a big account and to save it all in there. But the motives behind it was incorrect. It was wrong that he was storing it up for himself, not an investment, saying, you know, Lord, what would you have me do? And the Lord would say, invest it for those around you, you know. So it can be doing some great building project, you know, that requires a lot, but for the wrong motives, the vanity can take place and be costly. And you can see something on the surface that seemed good, but it ended up being bad. It ended up being wrong, and got the Lord rebuked them for it. You know, and we can do that ourselves with our own decision making, thinking about our careers. And you can see the, you know, what we do is in our self-reasoning, our reasoning can get off track so easy. We can start with all these self-righteous reasons saying, you know, I just want to get this established and then I can do this. You know, I just want to get my life established. Then I can do this. And the Lord says, no, that's vain. That's vain. Building in vain. And watching in vain, you know, I thought of a biblical example of somebody being a guard watching in vain. I thought about the tower of being a watchman on the tower on the walls of Jericho, for instance. You know, you've got these guys thinking, you know, they're good soldiers. They day after day, their job was to be on top of the walls of Jericho. And the best of the soldiers kept their eyes peeled, you know, thought they were being good servants of their. You know, commanding officer watching on those walls day and night after night, and had no idea that they were watching the wrong things for the wrong people, the wrong, you know, they were in under the wrong person's authority. And it all comes crumbling down before them, watching in vain all that time that they spent. Those were real people. I think a lot of times, a little sidetrack, I think a lot of times about the unknown characters in stories. Like I think about the people who did that. They were soldiers up on that wall, and thinking about these people, what in the world did they think when they saw these army walking around there? And then all of a sudden they set the walls coming down. Man, have I been working in this platoon for the wrong reason? You know, has this been in vain my life? You know, but that idea of doing stuff in vain just just really hits hard. And like watching something that we can do in vain, and examples that we can watch in vain. again, that's like after you've already established in an area, it's maintaining something. You know, the things that hits home to us, especially as you get older, you know, maybe move out of your job, you're trying to safeguard, you're trying to maintain, for instance, as a retiree, I mentioned the example of your retirement funds, trying to safeguard what the Lord has entrusted to you to make it the rest of your life to pay your bills, you know. Your health, for instance, you know, where we get to where, you safeguard your health. I mean, we see even in this COVID thing, you've got to be, you know, you careful to try to figure out how to safeguard your health. You know, that's two examples of something that's dear to us. And yet even that can be the wrong motives. If we're scared to guard it the correct way for the Lord to be in it from the beginning to the end, we get to be like that guy with that one talent. We bury it and we don't do anything with it with the proper motives of glorifying the Lord with it. And it becomes vanity and useless. No matter what we do with it or don't do with it, motives are so important. In addition to what we build, it's why we build it, what we safeguard, why we're safeguarding it. So important. Even preaching, even building a church, preaching can be in vain. That song we sing that, you know, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord comes down. You know, preaching is in vain. The word says, unless the Spirit brings to life, or the words are just fall on deaf ears, you know. That's vanity. So some quick questions to ask ourselves to discern whether we're building or guarding in vain this morning from this passage. What's my motive for wanting to do what I want to do in my energies, in my efforts? What's my motive behind it? Can God's kingdom and his glory be advanced by me doing that thing? And you need to get specific with your answers, all right? If I say yes, what are those things? What are those ways? What I desire to do, will it make a difference 100 years from now? Will it last? What kind of eternal investment is it? You know, some things from God, from an eternal perspective, from God's perspective about whether it's helping you know whether it's done for the right reasons and done for a purpose that will have meaning after you're no longer on the scene. And about guarding and watching over something, the question to ask yourself there is, what would my response be if the Lord decides to take it away, that which you're safeguarding so dearly? All right. The Lord decides to take away those funds that you've been hanging on to so dearly. How are you going to be? Lord decides to take away that health, how are you going to be? What's your attitude going to be then? You know, the Lord's taken precious things away from all of us at one time or another, and he'll continue to do so the longer we live. But to know whether you're guarding not in vain as to what is your response. If you know you're guarding it for the master, and if you see in the master's sovereignty, he decides to take that away, if you can still praise him and says he's given me a new assignment and you can still praise him, then you were not guarding in vain. If he chooses to take it away and give you a different assignment, you have not been guarding in vain. You've been guarding for the master and for his will. That's a good sign that you're not guarding in vain. Solomon, the writer of this psalm and Ecclesiastes, we know that he experienced life in the fullest of the fullest possible ways. There was not a man, as we know, that was richer, had more at his fingertips, had more wisdom and knowledge. So basically the life, the world was at his fingertips and everything. And it's so interesting that his observation was the exact same as every child of God, exact same as ours this morning is when we observe these things. And it was this same few words that we read in this psalm of his. Unless the Lord builds, it's vanity, vanity, vanity. And I close with the statement that kind of summarizes a guy named Charles Studd, C.T. Studd. He was a writer and a British missionary at one time. He penned that quote, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's about proper investing, proper building, and proper guarding, you know, and the motives behind those things. So that's the encouragement that I wanted to share this morning, the encouragement to consider what we build, consider why, and motives behind what we do, and about safeguarding it for the right reasons, and that, of course, is for our Master in all things from start to finish.